Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and you are listening to a new episode. So on this episode, I'd like to feature a conversation I recently recorded with Jim Dietert. Jim is the faculty lead for our Executive MBA program, and he and I recently sat down to talk about some exciting program-related news. Specifically, if you've been following our website, the Darden Report, various social media channels, you know that beginning with our class of 2021, both sections of our Executive MBA program will be based in the Washington, D.C. area. And I caught up with Jim to talk a little bit more about this news, as well as some other exciting program innovations that are currently in the works. Quick plug for class visits and upcoming opportunities to connect with us. If you're interested in checking out our space in the D.C. area, it's in Roslyn, which is in Arlington, directly across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. We have the top two floors and an office tower overlooking all of the capital region. So hopefully you'll be able to join us for one of our upcoming visits. We have visits in late October and late November, as well as a showcase, which is a great opportunity to come. Participate in a mock class, connect with some current students, connect with other fellow prospective students. We'll have that on Saturday, November 3rd. So check out our website for more details, including registration information. And without further ado, this is my conversation with Jim Dietert. Jim, welcome back to the podcast.
It's great to be back, Brett.
So we're here today to talk about some exciting news with the Executive MBA program. Specifically, beginning with the class of 2021, both sections of the Executive MBA program will be based in the Washington, D.C. area, or our Roslyn location.
That's right. We've decided to go to a single cohort model, which we think will have a lot of benefits for everybody involved.
That'll now mean we have space for potentially 135 or so students up in Roslyn, and as we talked about, both students will get both locations, right? So you'll get the convenience access, sort of the beautiful space that we have up in Washington, D.C. You also get Charlottesville, too.
That's right. We've really been thinking about it as a best of both worlds, or really a best of all worlds. So best of both in the sense that students will get everything our beautiful Roslyn facility has to offer, and the location, of course, in the D.C. metro area offers. But then also all the great things you associate with being on a great university campus, be that, expanded academic kinds of activities, tours to Monticello, and, with Q&A about Jefferson as a leader with arts and sciences professors here at UVA, or the ability to come down here for a case competition or a Shark Tank kind of event, and perhaps then follow it up with a tailgate and a football game. So all the things that typical UVA alum talk about as sort of signature events of being an alum, those are the kinds of things we want to make sure students have when they're in the program and they're here in Charlottesville. And then when they're up in Roslyn, we want to make sure expose students to the incredible people and events and activities up there. And when I say of all worlds, not just both worlds, I mean, of course, that all of our students will take at least one international trip, and many will take four. Mm-hmm. And so you really are learning in all different environments.
Mm-hmm. And of course, for those of you who may be familiar with our schedule as it's currently structured, all students will come to Charlottesville beginning into the program for week-long leadership residencies as well. So that'll be dedicated time here on grounds too. So lots of great opportunities to experience both Charlottesville and the Washington, D.C. area. So as there are a lot of other things that are also happening as a part of this news. So you've got sort of this career revamp that is going on, and sort of as we think about how we support students and their career interests, career needs, obviously that's a big part of choosing to go back to school, even as a more experienced professional. Our students typically have 20, 30 plus years of working ahead of them. And then also you have this enterprise leadership course that's also going through this redesign. Do you want to talk more about one of those?
Sure. You can say a little bit about both
of
those.
Yeah, sure. That'd be great.
If we start with the action learning, mm-hmm. the first of the two segments we've majorly revamped, we know that students come back to school in the Executive MBA format because they want applied learning. They don't want to learn things just sort of for their own sake, but because they make a difference in their lives. So what we're committed to doing with the action learning program, which will start from the day you arrive and go right up through the end of the program, is to create a set of activities, some directly sort of career progression related, things that are directly tailored to you, whether you're a climber in your own company or industry, or you're a switcher of various types, or even an entrepreneur or small business person, activities that help you along one of those journeys in very sort of career skill related ways. And then also more generally to introduce a set of experiential assessment, individualized activities that really help you develop the particular skill sets associated with whichever of those journeys you happen to be on. And so we're working on creating really an integrated sequence of activities and experiences that start the day you get here and carry on through graduation. And of course, one of the excellent features of the Darden program is that we have lifelong alumni career services. So that particular component is something that well beyond graduation is still with you. Mm-hmm. For the class of 2020, the current class, as you know, Brett, we have outstanding career development counselors. And within the first week of the program start for that class, those career counselors had met individually with every single one of the new students to begin crafting a plan, a journey that hopefully is helpful not just over the next 2 years but for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, you're right to point out that the career support here at Darden begins before you even matriculate, right, with your career kickoff meeting. Jim Collins, Sarita Saltz, both of these folks are well known here on the podcast. They've been on a couple times each, and then obviously you get to work with them throughout the program. You also have Connie Dunlop, who was recently on the podcast, who leads a professional advancement course and has been instrumental in sort of helping conceptualize some of this action learning revamp. And then, as you note, after graduation, alumni services for career services for life. So really, you know, from the time you begin to well after you graduate. So what about the enterprise leadership courses?
Yeah, so four times during the program, there's a course called Explorations in Enterprise Leadership. And the idea for these courses has always been to have them be really connected to the unique advantages offered by the D.C. metro area. Being sort of a connective point for business leaders, government leaders, nonprofit space leaders. So for the class of 2020 and beyond, the exploration courses have been redesigned to be very hot topical. So we have courses in health and healthcare, courses in emerging and frontier markets, sort of important topics that really whatever your particular, you know, job type or focus is, you'd be hard-pressed to say that health or the global economy or things like leading in a volatile, uncertain world. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to say these things are not relevant. And one of the things I'm really pleased about is that we have signed as three new Dean's Fellows high-level leaders to partner with Darden faculty to deliver those courses. So we have one of the most senior females in all of McKinsey partnering with us on the health and healthcare course. We have General George Casey, a retired four-star general, partnering with us on the Leading in a Volatile, Uncertain, Changing World course. And we have Ian Kosi, a senior director at the World Bank, partnering with us on our Global and Emerging Markets, Frontier Markets course. And so I think this course is one particular manifestation of our commitment to combining sort of the best theoretical and social science we have with the very best wisdom of practicing leaders.
Mm-hmm. And which obviously fits so well with what Darden is about, right? So in a lot of ways, Darden is a leadership school, right? And particularly for our executive format students who are, you know, typically at a point where they are managing people or certainly aspiring senior leaders, and all of that really has relevance to them, and oftentimes immediately in terms of what they're doing at their jobs.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, there are obviously lots of uncertainties whenever you make sort of projections about the future. But one that I'd be willing to put money on is that more and more with all forms of technology and artificial intelligence, the value that is placed on technical skills or memorizable facts is diminishing quickly. We simply are not going to live in a world anymore where leaders are the ones who know the most in any technical sense. I think those are largely being commoditized. And so what we try to do culturally and then very specifically programmatically is to acknowledge that reality and say what leaders are going to need now and in the future are abilities to think critically, to react quickly to ambiguous crisis kinds of situations, to deal with the intrapersonal and also emotional, stressful interpersonal challenges that computers are not quite ready to replace us at. And if that's where value is going to lie in the future world of leadership, then that's what we should be focusing on.
So let's talk about sort of from a practical standpoint or experiential standpoint, what it's going to be like on those weekend residencies. You know, two sections in Roslyn, that'd be, you know, maybe 135, 140 students there together. So two sections, maybe a classroom of 65 or so students. So when you think about, you know, the opportunities that presents, that particular arrangement presents for students, what comes to mind?
Well, certainly one of the things we have learned over the past few years as we've had distinct Charlottesville and Roslyn sections or cohorts is that opportunities for people to interact and really get to know each other across the sections was obviously limited in some ways. So for me, one of the most obvious benefits is that when the two sections, if you will, of the program are literally just across the hall from each other, whether that be largely in Roslyn or the few times during the program you're here, the first and obvious benefit is that the ability to develop a network deeply that's twice the size is made possible. The other thing that obviously does is when you've got everybody in one place, activities such as clubs, events, all sorts of extracurriculars that are much harder to pull off for a variety of reasons become much easier when you've got everybody in one location. So, yeah, I think you could argue that in a lot of ways the in-class experience won't be fundamentally different with this change, but the out-of-class experience will really be enhanced. One additional way I think the out-of-class experience will be enhanced is both our faculty and students have noted for the last several years that they'd love more time to interact, that is faculty-student interactions. And by having faculty just in the one location for the duration of the residencies, those informal opportunities to interact at breaks or before class starts or in the evening goes up significantly because faculty are, you know, not in a car transferring from one location to the other. They're sitting in the facility with students.
That's right. And people were always asking, did Darden faculty actually come up here to the D.C. area to teach? And the answer to that is yes. Yes, they do. But that, as you note, has limited the time that they are able to spend with one group or the other, right, because they're toggling back and forth during the weekend. You know, you make a great point about extracurriculars because we talked with some of the clubs and organizations here on the podcast. And when they have something in Roslyn, that means that some of the students who are in Charlottesville, for example, would have to like Skype in or Zoom in for it. And when something happened in Charlottesville, students could remote in from Roslyn, but, you know, logistically more complex and experientially maybe not totally optimal for everyone who's participating. And then you think about, gosh, if everybody was just in one location, you have that speaker come, they've got a lot more people in the room, the experience is better for all parties.
I think that's right. And, you know, while our program staff, anybody that's associated with our programs knows that Deanne Wards and Kathy Masloff and team are phenomenal. But it also was just a simple fact that when we were running, you know, two different schedules in two different locations, they were each focused on those specific residencies. And now we can bring this entire team's intelligence and energy and creativity to planning one master experience, if you will.
Yeah.
I think that's going to bear all sorts of great fruit.
Absolutely. And what one of the things I'm really excited about is the fact that weekend residencies for all students will be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And starting at noon on Friday, which is a new innovation, and then concluding same time as we always have it at 3 on Sunday. But that noon start time, I think, will make potentially the program a little bit more accessible to folks who are traveling a little from further away. Maybe you don't have to come in on Thursday night. Maybe you can fly in or travel in the day of that first residency.
Yeah, I mean, I think realistically, you know, with the exception of folks, you know, perhaps up the Northeast Corridor who could take quite a few shuttles, mm-hmm. you know, early on Friday, a 10 a.m. start made it pretty tricky for mm-hmm. people to come from the Midwest or other places in the South, Southwest. Mm-hmm. And I think given we're, you know, a grand total of about 8 minutes away from Reagan National, mm-hmm. There should be solidly half or more of this country where you could fly from on a Friday morning and still mm-hmm. be there in time for class.
Yeah, we are less – in case you're curious, so Roslyn, to some of you who may be listening, maybe unfamiliar, what is this place? So it is a neighborhood of Arlington. It's directly across from Washington, D.C. So if you're familiar with the Georgetown neighborhood of D.C., it's right across the Key Bridge, right at the shores of the Potomac River. And we are less than 5 miles from both Union Station, which is the principal train station in Washington, D.C., and as well as DCA or Ronald Reagan National Airport. So as Jim notes, whether you're taking the metro, that's 5 metro stops from DCA to Roslyn, or if you're taking an Uber, it's a very quick ride. So very, very accessible location. Dallas is a little bit further away. It's about 25 miles or so, but certainly with a noon start time, you could be there in no time. So we obviously have this brand new space, 40,000 square feet in top two floors of an office, brand new office tower in Roslyn. And so when you think about that space and the investment that the school has made in commitment to the D.C. area, sort of, you know, what does that say to you, or how do you think about that?
Well, I think what it means to me is that there's a difference between sort of talking the talk about mm-hmm. the importance of a location or your commitment to it and then walking the walk. Mm-hmm. And when you see the size of that facility and the quality of that mm-hmm. facility, I mean just in the last couple months, I've had several visitors with me to the facility, and as they've, you know, looked out the windows from the 30th floor of the mm-hmm. facility, they've remarked that they've never seen a better view of DC mm-hmm. from anywhere. And these are from lifers. Mm-hmm. So I think that you come visit the facility and you'll see that we're serious about DC. We're serious about having a meaningful presence. That in every meaningful sense of the word creates a world-class experience for students.
And as we talked about earlier, D.C. has always been about D.C., but it's always also been about the access that D.C. affords, both for folks who live beyond the capital region, right? You have all of a sudden – we have an airport here in Charlottesville. We have a train station in Charlottesville, but you have three airports in the D.C.
That's
metro
right.
area. You have – you know, a much busier train station there in D.C. So it opens up the program to a lot more people. And then also just all that's going on in D.C. To our conversation earlier about the enterprise leadership courses, just the access that it gives you to real leaders and people who are at the forefront of their field. It's tremendous.
I think that's right. I mean, you take somebody like somebody from the World Bank, for example, or any mm-hmm. other multitude of organizations in D.C., it's not very hard at all for mm-hmm. them to, you know, come across the river to Roslyn
yep.
for an afternoon or for a weekend. Although it's only a couple hours away, you know, it's a much bigger thing on a mm-hmm. Friday for somebody from any of those organizations to come down to Charlottesville. So I think our ability to tap the incredibly potent base of leaders in mm-hmm. the D.C. areas is really facilitated by this move. And it also cuts – you know, it cuts both ways. I mean, we've talked about the ability of people to fly in for a Friday noon start. But if you think about some other major areas that people have historically come to the program from, take a place like the Virginia Beach mm-hmm. area. It's just far enough away that a 10 a.m. start – with mm-hmm. traffic makes driving a tricky bet on a Friday mm-hmm. morning. A noon start makes that a pretty certain
yeah.
bet. So I think both by being in D.C. with a full commitment to the facility and to the place, and then also, you know, thinking carefully about things like when do we start and end and how many residencies do we have Hopefully we've been, you know, appropriately attentive to what people want and need from a part-time executive MBA program.
Yeah, to me, all of this is very much in line with, I think, what the program has been about. Certainly since I've been here, it's a sort of constant innovation, constantly looking at how we're delivering, what we're delivering, what's the student experience. I've been very impressed by the program leadership's willingness to listen to students and the market and all these kinds of things. And so all of this is fantastic, but it's also part of an ongoing sort of broader theme within the program to sort of continually innovate and to continually, you know, push to deliver the best possible executive MBA program.
Well, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to talk about all our students needing to lead and operate effectively in a volatile, unchanging world where they have to be agile, and then for us to be completely inflexible and stuck in the past.
Sure.
So I think we have to be the model of the world we are trying to help our students thrive in.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, thank you so much for your time today.
You're most welcome.
And that was my conversation with Jim Dietert, Associate Dean for Executive Degree Programs at the University of Virginia Darden School of Business. Quick plug, Jim is a repeat guest here on the Exec MBA podcast. If you're new to the podcast, be sure to go back and listen to the interview I did with him over the summer. It's a great introduction to both Jim, his background, as well as his plans for the Executive MBA program. Of course, as always, if you have comments, suggestions, requests, we're all ears here at the Exec MBA podcast. Feel free to email us at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA@darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening.